Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be for the Ray Mendoza and Alex Garland directed Warfare, which is a 2025, as you guessed it, war film based on experiences. This is based on Mendoza's experiences during the Iraq War for as an American soldier. Cool, let's jump to our rating system and start off spoiler free. Go to our rating system and see what we can figure out there. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip. I think I'm going to go with a strong must see and a 10 out of 10. I can't think of a reason not to do that. Now, this is a very. I wouldn't say quick. I wouldn't say this is a fast-paced film. It's a very lean, clean 90-minute film, though. And I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's got some very interesting ways that it's doing certain things as well. Particularly with audio, it does some very, very interesting audio things. I noticed as well the a screening that I was in. I don't know if this is a normal film and a normal thing I've just not noticed before. There was quite a bit of soundproofing in the screening that I was in, and there's a lot of loud gunfire, there's a few loud explosions, and there's a loud piece of music that's played at one point. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought this was quite excellent. This isn't a constant kind of barrage of gunfire type film. This is a story about, well, based on real events, and it says memories of the soldiers involved, of this group of guys in this army who are kind of cornered and kind of trapped in this building, because most of it does take place in the same building, and they're sort of communicating to the outside and trying to navigate the situation is what I'll say without getting into spoilery kind of stuff. So it does that very, very well. I was trying not to think too much while I was watching this, like, is this better than Civil War, which is Alex Garland and I think Ray Mendoza directed that as well. They both are very, very excellent films, Civil War and Warfare here. I think I prefer Civil War, but I prefer the sort of angle and the story for that. But this they both achieve different things, and they both achieve what they set out to anyway. But it's very interesting the way that this film manages its, not its pacing per se, but its sort of 0 to 100 situations that you get into. Because there's different chunks of this film that are trying to do a good job of putting you in soldiers' shoes or boots, I guess, in terms of, like, here's a quieter situation. There's the nervous stuff, there's the sort of peeking the windows and all that, see what's going on and scouting, all that sort of thing. And then there's the sort of, oh shit, something happened, we all have to move very quickly. Not in a way of they're sort of unprepared. And I did get some notes in this film of, not taking down notes, but mental notes or whatever, of, like, when the different soldiers in this film are reacting to different things, and you can tell they're all kind of at different levels. There's some of them here that are like proper hard asses kind of thing, and there's some of them that are a bit more, I don't know if it was supposed to be a bit more kind of nervous, but a bit sort of, some of them get shaken a bit easier by kind of what's going on. I really, really like the start of this film a lot, the first kind of quarter. I would say the sort of middle section of this is a very much not mixed bag in terms of quality, but you do flip in this film sort of in the middle between 0 to 100, 0 to 100, 0 to 100. And I think it does do that very, very well, and I think it's a very difficult thing to do. I do think my favorite parts of the film are probably the first quarter and the last quarter. I do like the middle as well, but it's kind of, And granted, each of those three different pieces, so I guess I'm saying the beginning, the middle, and the end, all kind of have their own purposes and their own. Every little section of this film has its own reason to be there and to do the thing that it's doing. Now, I went into this film and I was checking up some reviews and things, just some spoiler-free reviews, and a few people pointed out that it uses its audio very well, and that's not something that I knew the film was gonna do. Now I'm kind of a big audio person. I really like when audio is used in sort of special ways or in unique ways. In particularly in films and in TV, games have got their own kind of way of dealing with audio, and that's much more manual in games because you're more in control of what's going on. I like what this film does with its audio quite a lot. In terms of like going from 0 to 100, not just with the action but with the sound, but also kind of with when characters are shooting very, very big guns. Like, there's a couple of characters in this film that are carrying LMGs, and there's like some panicked shooting at points, and they're trying to clear buildings and things like that. And the sound. In, I was gonna say the stadium. No, the sound in the screening was like vibrating off the chairs, and I could kind of feel every little bullet getting shot. I don't know how much of that was the screening's design or the film's design, but either way, it really, really worked very well. It reminded me a lot of, for those of you that played PlayStation 5 games with the DualSense controller, it kind of made me feel like some haptic feedback was almost going on, and I thought that was really, really cool. I don't quite think they use that enough in this film, but when they do use it, it's really, really effective. I just wanted to see it a little bit more. But again, going back to the 0 to 100 sort of thing, you've got some points in this film, and I love both versions of the sort of dead, almost dead silent parts of this film, and then the sort of big stuff, let's say. There's a point in this film where like it's really, really, really quiet, almost dead silence, and the characters, because what they're doing in the moment, are acting to be really, really quiet, and you can hear every little footstep. You can almost hear like every groan, every grunt. And thankfully, my actual theater experience with this was very, very good. There wasn't really, in fact, I didn't really notice the people around me. To be honest, it was a decent sized, like the amount of seats were quite decent, and it was about just under, I would say, quarter full, I would say. But everyone was really, really nice in there, and really, because you don't want kind of this intense, silent, like war sort of, where they're like communicating with each other and trying to guide each other through the streets and like, hey, watch that window and this and that, and have someone like giggling or something in the corner. That's not what you want. So thankfully my theater experience was actually really, really good. Like I said, like there was multiple times in this film I didn't even notice anybody else in there, just me. And that's what we should have. That's what we should have. That was really, really great. But the sound design, I would say, and where it's kind of used in this film in regards to the like dead silent stuff. And then the really big loud sounds when things properly kick off. I really, really enjoyed that a lot. I thought that was done very, very well. That's not my sort of preference as to what you do with audio. I like when the sort of particular sound or a particular way that sound is used, but the dead silent stuff and then the loud bits, because you don't really get an in between in this film. You don't sort of get like a scene that's kind of 60% loud. You either get a scene that's kind of 90 to 100% loud, or complete dead silence, essentially. There's some other effects in this film with audio that are very, very good. When you're witnessing a character kind of not witness PTSD, but when they're sort of in shock and they're blanking because of the state that they're in, they're blanking out kind of all the noise around them. And there's parts where, like, because of the headspace that these soldiers are in, they sort of blank out the sound around them in order to sort of deal with that. And then they click themselves out of it, and then you hear how much pain, like, someone's actually in. And I thought they did that very, very well as well. So, Highly recommend this film. I really do hope that for those of you that go and see it, because it's come out this week pretty much, isn't it? So it came out yesterday, actually. I was gonna see this maybe on. I was either gonna see this or Sinners on Thursday, which was my birthday, but neither of them actually came out on Thursday. They both came out yesterday. So, but in regards to Sinners, look out for my review. That'll be next weekend, I think. But yeah, so really, really enjoyed all of that. It was very, very good. In terms of things like pacing, structure, the flow of this film, very, very good. Very, very good. I can see kind of. I wasn't sure where they were going with certain bits, and there was some. I would say slower paced moments, but more kind of calm before the storm. And then once you hit the storm, you realize, like, okay, I see where you were kind of. Where you were kind of going with some of that. But it's like a bottle episode film in a way. They don't really leave this one building that they're in that much, and there's some views and things like that from different drone shots and whatnot, and there's like street views and stuff, but it really does focus on these basically these soldiers in this building. So yeah, very, very good. What else did I want to say about this film? Yeah, I talked about the audio. The acting's really, really good as well. You've got an incredibly stacked cast. You've got Will Poulter, Kit Connor, Joseph Quinn, of course, big name now, Cosmo Jarvis, Charles Melton, Michael Gandolfini, who you've just seen in Daredevil. You've got some other recognisable names here. There's a bunch of others as well, but those are sort of the big names that really stuck out to me. Particularly Joseph, Michael, Kit, and Will. They were quite big in this film as well. So, but they all have kind of like their own role each, their own kind of thing that they're doing, their own kind of reactions to things and all that kind of stuff. So. Very, very much enjoyed it. So I definitely recommend the film. If particularly if you're really into war films, there might be certain bits and things that you might sort of appreciate, and certain little sort of like details and stuff that you might notice that are very, very cool to put in this film as well. And if you're not a war film fan, if you want to just go and see something that's really well made, really well directed, really well acted, very kind of realistic as well. Then go and see it anyway. I mean, it's a very, very good film, so just go and see it anyway. So, but there we go. One of the things I want to talk about, the violence. Yeah, there's a lot of like, again, I'm not one for being squeamish at blood. That stopped happening a long time ago. But there are some, you know, when you kind of look at a character who's really injured. And you're like, oh God, that looks really bad. Not in a way of like, oh, too much blood, but sort of, oh God, they're really injured. And you sort of. There are points in this film where you don't realise, or I didn't realise, how badly somebody's injured in this film at some point. And there's a few sort of little bits where, what do you call it? Like some, you know, when kind of someone's wounded and you can tell in a film or a TV show or something, and they like strip someone's top off, and then like you actually properly see how injured somebody is. There's a few of those in here, and there was bits where I was like, oh, that looks really bad. Again, not sort of like, oh, too much blood, but like, damn, your injury looks really bad. So there's a bit of that in here as well. All right, that's pretty much all I can say. Spoiler free, really. Excellent film. Another win for Mendoza and Alex Garland. So very, very good there. And yeah, I recommend. There's quite a lot out at the moment, actually, isn't there? There's Amateur, there's Drop, there's Sinners, there's Warfare, obviously Minecraft, Snow White, and a bunch of other films as well. So Novocaine, I think, is still out, although not for me anymore. So go and yeah, anyway, those are some of the films. So next up on my review film reviews list, I'm possibly hoping to see, I think it's Amateur or The Amateur, the Rami Malek I can't pronounce things anymore. His new film, so I should be going to see that tomorrow. I don't like write it in stone or whatever, because I can't go whenever I want to. But look out for that. I'm interested in seeing The Drop, see if it drop or The Drop. Definitely Sinners as well, and Novocaine. I assume that will be on. That will be a VOD watch. That was literally out for about 2 weeks. And then it went on to VOD. It's also Mickey, is it 17? The Robert Pattinson film. Again, that was out for 2 weeks, VOD. I need to do a podcast at some point on like this kind of, hey, this film cost 300 and something million. We put it out to the cinema and didn't advertise it properly. We put it out for 2 weeks. Oh, no one went to see it. And we made 10 million at the box office and it cost 300 million. Oops, we lost a lot of money. Guess should put it on VOD. And it's like, that's not giving people enough time to go and watch these films. And it's happened probably more than, like, I can count on more than two hands how many times I've witnessed that happening. But I'll save that discussion for another time. Anyway, I'm going to go into the spoiler section in just a moment. But just before we do that, if you've seen Warfare, I know it's very, very new. Or if you're looking forward to see it, or you're a fan of Alex Garland's films, of course, you've got like 28 Days Later. You've got Civil War, which I really liked. Annihilation, which I really liked. And a bunch of other stuff. If you've seen it, not seen it, whatever your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on it, or your thoughts about my thoughts on it. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. So look out for those. We're very busy right now. A bunch of Last of Us stuff. Of course, there's also Yellow Jackets, which has just wrapped up. Film reviews, I guess, are back but never sort of went. There's United Cast, there's Gaming Talk. New political talk this week, TV season review with Daredevil. So please support all the work that we do here on Entertainment Talk. You can do that for free. You don't need to give us, you can give us money over on Patreon. I'll mention that in a minute, but you don't have to, and you can support us completely for free. You can either do that by listening to more podcasts, just browse them and play the ones that you want. Word of mouth and social media, let other people know about what we're doing, where they can find it. And if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about our podcast for that thing. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast with your options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. We're in the thick of things with the TV bloodbath, as David likes to call it, with renewals and cancellations. So look out and see if your favourite shows are surviving. Geek Town Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. And in the meantime, you can find everything that we do on YouTube in terms of gameplay stuff, entertainment talk plays on YouTube. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the other side for spoilers. See you in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for spoilers on Warfare. If you've not seen the Mendoza Garland directed war film, then turn it off and do something else. What do I want to start with? Something that made me a little bit sad, actually, and I was kind of, I don't know if I should have been surprised by it because it didn't seem likely that they didn't pick up, and I don't know if they do this later, I don't completely know how the army works, that Guy's remains were just left in the street. I thought that that was, what was his name? The sniper guy, the main sniper guy. I think it was Elliot, the sniper. Cosmo Jarvis is Elliot. I thought that was him, but he showed up again later, or at least I'm pretty sure he did. So that was quite sad. Obviously, that was from the first round of explosions. I'm impressed by this situation in two different ways. One, by the fact that these, let's call them, the terrorists that are trying to kill our characters here, that they A, don't kill these people, these men. I guess they didn't want to like breach and actually infiltrate. And two, that these characters actually survived, or at least most of them did, survived this assault on this building eventually. It's also another thing I'm very impressed with. So when the sniper guy is looking out that little hole in the wall that they created, and you see the little grenade get poked through the wall, that can't have been thrown, because that's like a 1 in 5, if not 1 in 10 chance that you actually get the grenade properly in there. So when that kind of, because it drops in the window, doesn't it? So someone must have been on the other side of that door, and literally you would have to, I mean, I'm not a grenade expert or whatever, but it's a very, very small hole, and you've got to really like, you've basically got a hand place that in the hole, really. So someone must have like actually just had the grenade, put their hand up against the wall, and like popped it in, because I don't think you're getting the grenade through that hole in any other sort of way. I certainly don't think it was like a grenade launcher, unless someone took like, half an hour to line that up or something. That's still not a guarantee, and you're probably more likely to blow the wall up than actually, or have the grenade bounce off the wall, depending on what type of grenade launcher you use. Obviously, you could just blow up the wall itself, but that wasn't their aim. But I was that was an interesting little, because that's the first like break point, really, isn't it? I know there's the point of tension before that, and I want to talk about that as a first kind of plot point here. So the sniper guy again, I think, is Elliot. No, it was the other guy, wasn't it? It was the one who, was it Brian? I think it was. Because he goes, right, you can see he's all getting fidgety and stuff like that. And again, I love the kind of realism touches in this film. And he goes, oh, I really, really need a stretch. You've got to just take over. And he's obviously, they're all on the radio communicating and that. And sees this guy who's actually got an assault rifle going into that little building bit. I didn't think he was going to try to shoot him, and then he goes, oh, I missed him, he went past. And he gets told by two of his soldiers, he's like, oh, that was weak. That didn't quite, maybe that's a your own interpretation sort of thing, but I wasn't quite sure why they were saying that to him. Not in a way of like bad writing or anything, but maybe there's something there I didn't quite get, I'm not sure. But I love the sort of, it gives you really, I don't know if it's a full sense of hope or what it is, but things get so quiet in this film. And not quiet in terms of the noise, but like they're kind of walking around, getting a bit fidgety, waiting for something to happen, and the kind of the anxious nature of that. And as soon as the one bit of movement, like, oh God, this guy's going up the building, and then things just slowly kind of escalate from there until we get the grenade. But then even in between the big moments, like the grenade and then the person walking past the window and all the other stuff that happens, and like the tanks getting blown up, there's still moments to breathe for these soldiers. And the kind of like the build up in the bits where they're ready for the next move, and the sort of like, hey, you ready to go? Yeah, I need this, I need to get that. I really enjoyed that kind of organization. I think that was very cool. And again, that's where the film got into its sort of middle bit, I would say, where it was like 0 to 100, 0 to 100, 0 to 100. And I thought they managed that really well, because that felt like it was difficult to kind of pull off. So even in between like not necessarily set pieces, but scenes within the set pieces, like where everybody was. Like, some of the men were outside, more of in the thick of it. Some of them were like in the corner trying to like gather themselves together and stuff. And there was these great little cuts in between the characters, and you can kind of see mentally where they're at and that sort of thing. So I thought that was done really, really well. One of the first kind of violent, shocking moments of this film is, I'm pretty sure it's Joseph Quinn's character. Now, he sees, I think he's the one that wakes up and sees his teammate who's been blown apart. Which again, I think was Elliot, but I could be wrong about that. You look at his leg, and this, by the way, is one of the very few films or few pieces of media where the idea and the mechanic of a handheld recording actually works pretty decently. Like, I've seen a lot of films and a lot of like TV shows where like you can tell someone's almost running with the camera and they're filming characters running and it's proper bobbing up and down and it's like almost completely distracting. But this gave a sort of more intimate feel, more sort of claustrophobic intimate feel towards that. But then there were some bits you could tell that weren't like handheld and all that sort of thing. Or at least bits that were more handheld than other parts. I don't know the depth on the directing here, so I thought that was done really well. But yeah, he gets brought in, pulled in, and I like that. There's two bits of the reveal that I like here, which is his legs are red. I couldn't quite tell to begin with if it was like, oh, his legs are burnt or his legs are bleeding or both. And then you notice, like, okay, when he's getting pulled in, the blood is being dragged with him. I still thought it was burn marks, and there might have been some burning in there anyway. And they're putting pressure on his legs. And part of me is like, okay, I get that he's bleeding, and he's bleeding really badly. And I like when they switch the audio again, and you can actually hear how loud he's screaming. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, he's really, really, like... I liked the sort of, I don't know, the way they did that. I thought that was really, really good. Again, great use of kind of going from 0 to 100 with the audio, because it was like, oh, this seems quite bad. His legs are bleeding. He's being pulled in. He's screaming a bit, but he, you know, might be all right. And I think he did survive the film, didn't he? Because he got pulled in the tank at the end. Then you get the two-step reveal of like the audio. Not the distracting audio, the sort of muffled audio bit calms down, you can hear clearly, and he's absolutely screaming his head off. And then you get the gradual sense of, oh, he's a lot worse than he may be. He looks like he's in a bad way, but a really, really bad way. And then, like, they take a few of his bits of clothes off, and you see, okay, all right, there's a lot of blood there. And then they have to tourniquet his leg at some point. And I'm pretty sure what they showed us was like, oh no, there's actually like part of his bone and part of like the muscle of his leg or whatever. There's like bits of his leg actually sticking out. And when you first get the reveal of that, whether you guessed it was already that way or not before, and you're like, oh shit, this guy's like really doing quite badly. And then it just gave you that gradual sense of, oh, he's in a bad way, but then he needs to drag him back in, stitch him up maybe, well, not stitch him up, but fix him up maybe, and then, like, nah, his leg's, like, really, really bad. Really, really bad. And this is why he's absolutely screaming his head off. So, I thought that was quite well done. What else do I want to talk about for plot and things like that? Yeah, some of the other bits you had, when the grenade was dropped in, and they all sort of panicked from that, and then they're sort of, can you grab my gear kind of thing. I thought that was pretty good, and they're all kind of a bit nervous to poke their heads back in there. I thought that was very good as well. I wonder where that person did go that was on, like, because it was Kit Connor's character, right? Tommy, of course, from Heartstopper, and yeah, he's sort of like, admittedly, sort of blind firing a little bit into the window, trying to sort of get someone from there. So I thought that was quite a good part. But yeah, it just gives you, again, the overall sense, like, war is hell, and like, yeah, just trying to get out of this. I think this was told in real time as well. I didn't really notice any actual like time jumps. It seemed to flow, not in one take because there was different camera changes, but it seemed like it was one just continuous sort of one timely told story, I guess. What other bits are there? Yeah, the first bit of tanks blowing up, and you get like again the 0 to 100 stuff there. What was kind of surprising to me was they seemed to have one exit and entrance, and I don't know, because there was a lot of shooting from our guys towards the terrorists or whatever, but we didn't see that many of them actually getting taken out, and it was more kind of focusing on the camera was more focused on our guys shooting rather than where the bullets were actually going. So that I thought that was kind of interesting. It gave you see, I liked the way they did this because I never really got quite a good sense of numbers on the other side. Like they kept getting told different things, like, oh, the enemies are approaching, there's a group of them approaching you, and this sort of thing, or there's like multiple people approaching, but we never quite got the exact sense as to how many there was. But I think that was supposed to be deliberate because neither did our team like have a full sense of how many there actually were. And because we weren't seeing like, oh, there's a group of two on this roof, they've got taken out. We never quite got the sort of sense of that. So, trying to think of other bits that happened in the film. You did get Lieutenant MacDonald. He accidentally put morphine into his thumb. I don't know what that does to you. Or he like cut his thumb from that. I'm not sure what that would do to you. But he sounded very panicked about it. That's the guy who's been in Daredevil Born Again recently. So that was quite a good part. And yeah, the tourniquet leg thing, like one of them couldn't quite do it because he just, I don't know, couldn't quite do it, and then the other one did it. So you got that bit as well. I didn't understand when the second unit came in, and they just weren't very careful at all, and they were like trampling over some of the injured people's legs. And one of the soldiers, I think it was Brian listed here, was like, hey, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, you just come in and just, you know, just step everywhere and just step kind of all over the place. You do get, I suppose, those higher up people that sometimes, like, I don't know, stroll around a bit on their own and sort of think that they're this high authority, can kind of do whatever they want, and they don't listen to other people. That's the sort of sense I got from it anyway. Or they sort of arrive there and like disappointed with the group's efforts. That's at least the vibe I kind of got from that, so I thought that was quite good. I think that's most of the plot points I want to talk about, most of the bits and pieces that that sort of happened. So yeah, very, very much enjoyed the film. I thought it was interesting as well at the end, the other bit I want to talk about. So the soldiers all end up leaving. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the civilians evacuated, although I'm not sure that was completely their goal. And then the dad kind of comes out, doesn't he? And he's like, hey, it's all safe and that. And that's where it had gone back down to that zero of like the calmness, no noise, no threat sort of thing. And you just kept thinking, I don't know about any of you, but I just kept thinking like any minute now, these like terrorist people or whatever are going to come in, like see them, they're going to flinch or freak out, and then they'll just come in and shoot the whole family. You don't actually know if they survived or not, but they didn't get killed at the end, which was the whole point. And then you get this street view where some of them actually came out of the buildings and out the corners and stuff into the street. What I thought was going to happen then, because I had just this sense of dread, I suppose, was like if because the dad was heading towards one of the corners of the building, I thought, oh, he's just going to walk outside and they'll walk out into the street and you'll just see them get executed or something. But thankfully neither of those two things happened, which was good as well. But yeah, I guess they got away, but didn't pick up their teammates' remains. I don't know how common that is in a war situation or what the sort of protocol is there, but you want to sort of at least pick up something. I know there was the leg kind of hanging around, and yeah, it's not great, is it? Yeah, at first I thought that was Elliot. I thought that that was the sniper guy, the one who was like getting a bit fidgety in that, but I think that was a different character. So, yeah. Anyway, that pretty much about wraps it up. Nice, quick, clean film. Gets to the point of what it wanted to do, what it wants to do. Some great sort of 0 to 100, both for the drama and for the audio. So I really like those bits. Yeah, very, very good war film that I really, really enjoyed. Really enjoyed all the kind of different like detail bits of the sort of tactical stuff and the planning and everything else like that, and the communication between the characters. I thought that was done pretty well. So yeah, very, very good. I would say, okay, would I say this is the best film of the year so far? I've seen Sonic, Captain America 3, or sorry, 4, this, and have I seen any other films this year? Oh yeah, Companion, We Live in Time. I think those are the films that I've seen. I would say, I don't know, on the spot trying to compare this to something like Companion that does really well with what it does, and like We Live in Time. I think I'd lean towards this, either this, Sonic, or Companion being the best film of the year so far. But I think Sinners is going to be, when I see Sinners, out of even the films I've got planned to see and the ones I've already seen for this year, I think Sinners, at least at the moment, is going to be the one that that ends up on top. That's kind of my thoughts anyway. So yeah, next up should be, providing I do go and see it tomorrow or whatever, should be Amateur, or The Amateur, with Rami Malek, and we'll see how that goes. Thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time. Goodbye.